How many have ever asked this question ever in your life? How do I know God's will? Well, we're going to talk about this for weeks to come. And what I thought about doing, I haven't talked to the pastors yet, but I think they'll be okay with it. We're going to just speak on one component of this every week on Wednesday nights. Other than tonight, I think, and we haven't got it all figured out yet, and that's one of the downsides to having pastors that work outside the church and all that, is it's hard to have everything figured out all the time, or any time maybe is the better word. But what we'll probably do is have a short lesson every Wednesday with all of us, and then we'll split up into groups to do whatever we're going to do, whether it's sing or puppets or... I think Pastor Jim's going to lead a session on tap dancing. Yeah, I don't think so. The T in Baptist does not stand for tap dance. Okay. Anyway, huh?
Which one?
Yeah, neither T. Anyway, what I'd like to do is introduce tonight this idea, and then we're going to go over things. Honestly, growing up, I think I heard about it a lot. Some of you think I still need to grow up. But growing up, I heard it about it a lot, and there's a lot of confusion. We're not going to really address too much confusion to start with. I think we're going to probably approach it on the basis of this is what the Bible does say, and maybe toward the end we'll cover common misconceptions. We will introduce misconceptions today, but we won't get into them deeply. But each week we'll just do one principle, and then we'll have time to do other things, okay? So it won't be a long study, maybe a half hour-ish or something, and then Divine Tap Dancing 101 or what, I don't know, whatever. So we'll see. We'll try and let you know, hopefully by Sunday, okay? What we're going to do, but I haven't had a chance to talk to Jim and Ethan on that yet. So, anyway, here we go. What I'd like to at least introduce, and I said that kind of introduce the misconceptions, is where not to start. Where not to start. Okay? When you talk about God's will, most people start at the fringe decision that they have to make. Is that fair to say? They're trying to decide little things like who to marry. That was a joke too. No, I'm trying to be funny, but everyone dive-bombed at the tap dance thing, and after that, nothing's funny, right? So, but anyway, you know, what socks to wear, where to go to school, where to shop, to get your groceries, things like that. I mean, or even, you know, just... what do I want to be when I grow up? If you grow up or whatever. But that's the wrong place to start, okay? And I'm not even going with those questions right now. I'm sharing what I believe you shouldn't go to first. Allison, can you switch farthest back? Just flip that one off, will you? It'll be just a little better for everyone. I function better in the dark anyway. Okay. All right, but five areas that you should not go to first. Now, we'll talk about them later, and each one you'll say, well, that is legitimate. None of these are legitimate to start there. Okay, it'll make sense more as we go on, even tonight. It should make sense even tonight, okay? You'll have a set of things tonight that are usable if all you hear is tonight. Okay? Number one, you don't start with people's advice. Okay? You don't start by asking advice. It's important to care about what people think to a point, but that's not how you start to determine what God's will is for you. One major reason, and some of these will overlap, some is two people will probably give you how many different potential avenues? It could be hundreds for two. And then multiply, you know. Everyone's going to, one person might even give you, they don't even know. And they'll give you different possibilities and so on and so on. Now, that doesn't mean you should never ask for that. We'll talk about that later on. The importance of counsel we've already talked about. But you do not start there. That's not the basis of God's will, what people say to you. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Because different people say different things. And you can always, guess what? Find someone who will tell you what you want to hear. Is that fair to say? Yeah. Abort your child. Run away from home. Kill yourself. Slam your head against the wall. You know, whatever the case might be, you can find people that'll argue that that's what you should do. Okay? Number two, or not number two, but where else not to start? You don't start with circumstances. Now, I kind of grew up under this. You know, the open door, closed door kind of thing. Now, I agree, if God shuts the door, for some reason he prevents you from going overseas when you thought you should go overseas. Or, you know, you're 4'2" and you want to be a basketball player. You know, or you're 100 pounds and you want to be a football player. Or whatever the case might be. There's certain things that just don't fit because of circumstances. And that prevents that, okay? And we'll talk about that some as we go on. But circumstances are impossible to interpret. If I can just talk about that a little bit. When are circumstances something that steer you away? Is it when it gets hard? Is that God telling you not to do something when it gets hard? Help me out here. Because I'm thinking all kinds of things in the New Testament that were very hard for people, and they did them. So circumstances weren't the dictating force in what they decided, how they determined what to do. Jesus went to the cross, and I think that was hard. Most of the apostles were killed in some manner. They did not take an easy path. They didn't say, oh no, they threw rocks at me. I guess that's God's will for me not to be here. It's funny, but Paul went back to places that tried to kill him. Okay? So it's, what circumstances, or is it inconvenience? You know, I got it, well, if I got to get out of bed, it's probably God telling me I shouldn't do that. You know, we can be crazy about that, but what circumstances would it be, how will you interpret difficult circumstances or easy circumstances? Oh, that's God wanting you to go through the door? Well, maybe it's the devil tempting you to go through the door. The devil, we'll get to this in a couple, maybe in March. I think it's Luke 4, right after Luke 3. Luke 4 comes after Luke 3. It's amazing. But where Jesus is tempted to do something easy to avoid something that's hard. Put yourself on a pinnacle and everyone will worship you and you can avoid the cross. Okay? Command these stones to be made bread. And he goes, no, man shall not live by bread alone. He quotes Deuteronomy 8, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's not my comfort or convenience that makes a difference. That is not what determines whether it's God's will or not. And let me encourage you in this, or at least help you to face reality. Many times, if not most of the time, God's will is the tougher road, not the easier road. It's easier not to live for God. That's why the broad way is filled with people. And the narrow way isn't. That's exactly what that's talking about. Another one here. Let's take a poll. Who believes in polls? Raise your hand. Consensus. I always think it's hilarious. I have one of our congressmen It's the opposite of old. And I always get surveys. What do you think I should do here? You know, should we fight abortion? And you're like, really? Are you taking a survey to decide whether or not this should be something you fight against? Really? Overspending. What do you think we should do here? And I'm like, not email me on this. Stand up and be a man in Congress and do what's right. Right? It's not consensus. And you listen to the radio, it's like, well, 84% believe in whatever, you know, 49% believe in same-sex marriage. And it's like, frankly, God doesn't care what people think about things He's talked about. Right? He doesn't. Like He didn't take a poll before He gave out the Ten Commandments, right? What do you think here? Everyone okay? All in favor of accepting the Ten Commandments? Oh, we voted down. Let's rewrite them. Nothing like that. It's not consensus. It's not 51% or whatever, you know, even a supermajority or whatever sometimes they do in Congress. It's not consensus that determines what God's will is. There might be times when you vote on something that has no relevant, you know, if you're voting on carpet in the church, we got this color and this color. Okay, all in favor of this color, say, you know, okay, this color looks like we win, you know, and there's 40 people walk out of the church because they, you know, it could be a moral issue still, but anyway, it's not consensus most of the time. It's not where you start. It's not, well, what do most people think? That's not where you determine what God's will is, not what other people think, okay? Consensus means the majority of people think this way. Well, most people think, whoa. That isn't where we start. How about another one here? Desires. Is that where you start? Well, I really could use, right now, and I'm being serious with you, I really could use, you know what I'm talking about, the drumstick? Like a sugar cone coated on the inside with fudge. You know what I'm talking about? Filled with ice cream, vanilla ice cream, up to the top, dipped in chocolate with peanuts on it. Are you with me? Okay, we got a lot of people feeling what I'm feeling, you know what I'm saying? Several people in my family are on a diet. I can't eat that stuff right now. Okay? So, diet, it's not so much a diet. We're slimming down just to get to where we think we need to be. But we've changed our lifestyle and we keep refining it as we go. So it's a good thing. But I'm telling you, another thing I really like that I'm not able to eat right now, I think I could eat toast for 3 days straight. Because I like toast. Toast is one of my top 10. Toast is one of those simple delights, and I desire toast a lot. Whether I'm dieting or not, toast is just kind of buttered toast, peanut butter on the toast, jelly on the toast, cinnamon and sugar on toast. You know, anything, you know, BLTs, you know, anything. Everyone eat supper tonight? I haven't. Well, I did. I had a snack. So I desire those things. Anyone here desire to sleep? Hang on, because that'll probably come when you're dead. Okay? I don't know, maybe it's because I'm older, maybe because I'm just busy enough that I can't ever quite get enough sleep to where I feel like I'm rested. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Some of you know what I'm saying. It's like you wake up and the first thing that comes to your mind is, I could really use a nap. Really? I say that at home a lot to my family. It's like, you just got up. Yeah, I know. I could really use one of those. But the Bible says you're not supposed to live by your lusts, your desires. Okay, whether it's sleep, sexual contact, food. I read somewhere recently, the Bible says that if you're one given to your appetite, you should stab yourself or put a knife to your throat. It really says that in Proverbs. It's being proverbial. That's why it's in the book of Proverbs. But it's the idea is don't be one that lives by your desires. That's the point. You should control your desires. Your desires do not dictate the will of God. That isn't where you start. That doesn't mean that desires don't enhance things. They might even keep you alive. Some of us get so busy we forget to eat until we got, you know. And it's like, oh man, I'm starved, right? But there's that stuff is there for a reason, but it's not there to direct your life, right? And we see it again, going back to command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, after 40 days of not eating, which I cannot fathom. Okay, 40 days, 40 minutes, you know, maybe. But 40 days, and he could have made stone into bread. I can't even make bread into bread, really. But he didn't. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. It's not your appetites, your lusts, your desires that dictate what the will of God is. And the sooner we figure that out, the better we are. We talked about that in Luke 8 a week ago, where we're not supposed to, you know, the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, we don't live by what pleases us. Okay? That doesn't mean that being pleased is not a good thing, but that's not where we start in determining what the will of God is. Okay? The last one is a slightly different. Okay? Feelings. Now, these can overlap with desires because, you know, you could probably hear me saying, I don't feel like getting out of bed. That's more of a desire than a feeling. But we get what you mean there. I get what I mean there. That's what God created snooze buttons for. Anyway, but what I mean by feelings is emotions, right? Whether you're angry, sad, happy, frustrated, afraid. What are some more emotions? You know, you get the idea, though. It's not how you feel. Okay? I don't really like to discuss the whole idea of depression. I'm not saying people don't get depressed. I do believe, though, that you should live on the basis of principle rather than on how you feel. So it's a different approach than some. But still, I'm sure that everyone here has gotten down at one time or another. You can't live by that. Okay? You live by something else. It's not your emotions. It's not how you feel at the moment. How many here like to feel good? You know what my favorite day is? Not the day of the week, though I probably have a favorite day of the week. But my favorite kind of day is probably about 68 or 70 degrees for me, low humidity, the sun shining bright, and preferably spring or fall, because I like the new sprouts in the spring and I like the leaves in the fall. I like that kind of a crisp day, and it's easier for me to feel good on that day. You know what I don't like? Dark, dreary days with all the leaves off the trees and something glares through the clouds and you're like, you forget that that's the sun because you haven't seen it in so long. I don't like those days, okay? It just does, and I think it might even impact you physically some. But it's like, but you can't live by that. You can't say, well, since it's a dreary day, I'm just going to not do anything, okay? We can't live by how we feel. We can't speak by how we feel. We can't respond on the basis of our feelings. Now, did God give us emotions? If you nod only once, you're sleeping. Okay. God gave us emotions. They're there for a reason. I honestly believe, how many ever had a black and white television? I grew up with one. Black and white, you know, color, what's color, you know? I didn't realize, I saw Batman. I grew up with Batman and Robin, the old black. I thought it was black and white. It's color. I had no idea of it. What a cheesy show that was, too. But anyway, I believe that emotion is like color. It helps us to just enjoy things more. It's kind of like taste, right? You could just, aren't you glad God gave you the ability to taste things rather than just eat textureless, flavorless stuff all the time? Not that I'm on a diet or anything. No, it's actually pretty good. But, that idea, I'm glad. But you could eat without it. But I think emotions are the same thing as like taste or color or thing. God uses it to enhance our experience, but not to direct our experience, okay? So that's where not to start. Now, let me give you three key steps. And if you don't know anything else, this is enough. This will get you started. This is the basis on which everything else should work from, okay? Three key steps. Number one, and you have to start here. You can't go backwards. If you follow these three steps, most every situation, not all, but most every situation will pretty much determine itself. It'll solve its own problem, okay? If you ignore all of these, then you'll never know what the will of God is. But if you start here, you will automatically know what isn't the will of God and what is the will of God on the clear things. Okay, so you have to start here. You have to identify specific commands. Right? People always want to know, what's the will of God for me? You know, who should I marry? What car should I drive? What should I do for a living? Or maybe even nothing, even that life-changing. But something even smaller. You know, what should I focus on in my life this year? Well, the first place you should start with is, what has God said or not said? Notice this. Has God spoken concerning this? That your first question should be, in any situation, has God spoken on this particular situation that I'm in right now, that I'm facing right now? How in the world do I think I'm going to determine the will of God if I don't bother asking God what He says? Does that make sense? Well, let's find out. You know, what does God say about this? Okay? And the second way to say that is, has God spoken concerning this? Another way to ask the question is, has He said to do or not? I think it's just do in your text here, right? The two words are do. To do or not to do this. You can ask right away, has God said to do or not to do this? That's clear commands. Should I be doing this? Did God say to do this? Then the answer is what? Should I be doing this? God says to do it. Should I be doing it? Yes. If I look in the Bible and I ask, should I be doing this? And God says, you should not be doing this. The answer is no. It's not rocket science. It's actually fairly easy, at least at that basic level. Okay, now God's commands don't necessarily detail what color to paint your house or your bedroom, or what type of socks to wear. And we'll get to that later, because I don't think He really cares too much about that. Not that He doesn't care for you, because He does. But God allows us some freedom to decide there. But identify specific commands. Give me some ideas, and that's why I left a little bit of space in your notes. What are some specific commands that we know God has said to do or not to do? And a lot of people think the Christian life is not a life of doing what God has said. And I would say that they have not read the Bible even once then. Because Jesus said at the end of Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things I have what? Commanding, teaching to observe, to do, to obey, to follow what I've commanded you. And I'll be with you to the end of the age. He's not saying it in a short-term basis. He's saying it all the way through the church age. Okay, and the New Testament, specifically the epistles, are filled with commands. Give me some ideas of commands in the Bible. Love one another. Old Testament or New Testament? Yes, it is. It actually is. Yeah. It's in both. Love your, you know, love things. Okay. What else? So is it God's will for you to love one another? Yeah. So that should be a basic premise for doing God's will. Okay. So you could say, well, does this help me love people? Right. Another command. To do or not to do. Okay, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Do you know that there's 10 commandments in the 10 commandments? I'm brilliant. How many commandments are there in the Old Testament? They're not only 10. 613 commands in the Old Testament. So the 10 commandments is like a table of contents summary statement, okay? But the only command that's not repeated in the New Testament for believers to follow is what? Keep the Sabbath. And there's other reasons for that, because it focuses not on the day but the assembling together. Okay, so it's not when but who you're with, though we do believe it to some degree in a Sabbath principle. What's another command? To do or not to do? That was a not, right? Don't murder. Good. Okay, and by the way, that's in Old Testament and New Testament. Patricia? Be fruitful and multiply. Says a mother of a multitude, right? Has God ever rescinded that, by the way? Unless he's still filling out the Bible. Okay? There's 5 commands in Genesis chapter 1. That one's repeated, what, 5 times in Genesis? The others are not. They have dominion and subdue the earth. Those aren't repeated anywhere, but they're only in chapter 1 there. So be fruitful and multiply. What else? Bear one another's burdens. Can you hold this for a little bit? Galatians 6. There's a lot to be said there, but the Bible also says what? Earlier in that same chapter. Later. Everyone should bear his own burdens. Another command. And it doesn't contradict what Pastor Jim just said. There are 2 different types of burdens. The bear one another's too heavy for yourself burdens. But then there's other responsibilities that it's your responsibility to do your job. Okay? So those. Lynn, did you have your hand up? Honor your father and mother. Old Testament or New Testament? Huh? Both. Okay. Good. Okay, because otherwise my kids are going to rebel. Keep your promises. God has a lot to say about keeping your word, right? I think of Proverbs 15. Yes, ma'am. Okay. The command to evangelize. How many times does that show up in the Bible? So there's 5 different great commissions. Oh. Yes, you do, because I've taught on it multiple times. One in each gospel and in Acts. Different ways, but... Rejoice always. Well, that sounds like I shouldn't be living by my emotions. Right? If I rejoice always, it doesn't mean I'll always be high in emotions. So rejoice must be something else other than just emotion. And it is, actually. But it's rejoice always. Judy. Meditate on the word day and night. We are to be driven, immersed, directed by the Word of God. Back here, did I see someone? Oh, Sammy.
You shall not steal.
Don't steal, right? Don't steal. And there's lots of ways to steal. But stealing time, money, right?
Thou shalt not covet.
Don't covet. Got a nice notebook there. Wish I had that. Just kidding. It's a nice notebook. No. Okay. You get the idea, though, right? And by the way, there's all kinds of things. Put on the old, take off the old man. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, right? There's all kinds of things that God says. And those are without question God's will. Okay? And we'll get into this more as we go weekly. But we have to understand that those things should be come to the forefront of our minds. And we should be able to say, okay, has God said something about this to do it or not to do it? Okay? Has He commanded? Has He spoken regarding this? And if He has, we already know then whether it's a yes or a no, right? God's will isn't that hard. Okay? Now that doesn't mean everything is a yes or a no. Let's go next one here. Specific commands. Next one is we need to evaluate general principles. Can I ask you a question? And this is not a trick question. It's not meant to be. Is it okay to smoke cigarettes? As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is it okay to smoke cigarettes? Why? Which verse says,
God hath said, you shall not smoketh the cigaretteth, or whatever, you know. But you can smoke a cigar.
Why is it? We mostly said it was wrong. Why do we say it's wrong? What command in the Bible? Judy? Okay. There's different reasons. Probably the primary one that we go to is, and by the way, people used to smoke in the past and it didn't have the same stigma as now. Do you understand that too? Did you know Charles Spurgeon smoked a cigar? Or was it a pipe?
Cigar.
Can you imagine? I doubt if he did it when he was preaching, but can you imagine? He turned up, you know, Hosea. Okay? He was a brilliant man. He died in his 60s, maybe because he smoked cigars. But they didn't know the impact, the physical impact of it. So now we find out it's bad. Now, you can over-apply this, too, because it's bad to breathe air, too. You know that, right? Right? Because there's bad stuff. Okay. So, but I'm saying, we know that it's drastically bad for your body. So that's why we say the principle is, there's no command, but there's a principle that your body is not yours, and therefore you need to care for it because it's God's body. It's not to do what you want to do with. By the way, that passage deals directly with what? What's 1 Corinthians 6 deal with? Anyone? Is someone saying something I just maybe not hearing? Sexual immorality. Okay? Your body is bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It belongs to God. So that's the idea that you are, that's what we apply as what we say, a general principle. Now, how do I define a general principle? It's something God has said that relates to my situation or decision. Okay? By the way, I don't believe that's the only principle. Because I believe if you saw me smoking, it would have an impact and you wouldn't be thinking about my health. You would be thinking, and I heard this a lot in the Army. Did you see that chaplain drinking at the club the other night? Now, notice, they're in the club drinking, watching the chaplain drink, and they thought that the chaplain was being inconsistent. Okay, so there's other principles there. You can impact other people's lives, so it might be something that's okay, but it might cause other people to stumble. I'm not saying smoking is okay. That's just multiple reasons why I wouldn't be smoking. One is my body is God's and I'll take care of as much as I can, and I'm not going to purposely put something bad into it. Okay? Does something God has said relate to my situation or decision? Okay? Is it okay to speed? Like as in go faster than the speed limit? Yes or no?
No.
No. Some of you are awful quiet. It's not okay to speed. And the verse that we use is not, it is Jehu because he drives his chariot furiously. Okay, we don't look at that. The principle, it's not a command. He doesn't say you should not drive your car faster than the speed limit. God doesn't say that. Why? Because there weren't even any cars. Right? When the cars first came out, they were going a breakneck speed of 20 miles an hour. It's like, really? I could drive my bike that fast. You know? But for a short amount of time, downhill with the wind at my back. But the Bible does say what? What's a principle that would apply to a speed limit sign?
Obey those that have the rule over you.
Obey those that have the rule over you, right? We are to obey kings and those that God has placed over us. Unless there is a reason, a higher law than what the government places on us, God commands us to obey the government. Are there times when we have to obey God rather than men? And you should say yes, because you say, Pastor, you're quoting right out of the Bible. When that happened, they commanded the apostles not to preach in the name of Jesus, right? And they said, first off, they did it twice, actually. The first time they said, well, should you know, you tell us, should we obey God or man? And they warned him and kicked him out. The second time they brought him in and they said, you will not do this. You will not preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, we will obey God rather than man. That's the only time you can break the speed limit. Or whatever, okay? Not pay your taxes. Or whatever, okay? Unless you can find some higher thing. And then you probably, it's not done in secret. They did it openly. Okay, otherwise it's really deception. But evaluate general principles. There's reasons why we obey God, man. We obey speed limit signs and we honor the king. I don't like President Obama. But I do not slander his title or his name. Why? Because I believe God put him there. That's what the Bible says. We're not to talk evil against the king, right? Or the president in our situation, okay? That doesn't mean I can't voice my opinion against what he's done this week, yesterday, today, what he'll do tomorrow, okay? But I still have a respect that I owe him, not because of who he is, but because of who put him there. Okay? So does something God has said, that's a horrible sentence, does something God has said relate to my situation or decision? That should come up next. Has God specifically commanded against this or for this? Yes or no, then it's yes or no. If God says yes, then my answer is yes, I'll do it. If God says no, then my answer should be no, I will not do it. Then you go on to general principles and say, well, is there something God has said that relates to this that would impact my decision? And the answer many times is yes, God has said something about this. Okay? And there's, I could give you gazillions of illustrations here, but I won't for the sake of time. I want to get to point number three here. The third step here, it's still not a free-for-all. You get to number three, you get past number two, God has either said or didn't say it, commanded it to be done or not to be done, or God said something relating to it, okay? The third point then is still, and you see this a lot in Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs, but not only in the book of Proverbs. You see it exercised throughout the Bible. It's called exercise biblical wisdom. God, you still don't say, well, since God hasn't said anything, I can do whatever I want. No, the question should be then that comes to our mind is, what does the Bible indicate is the wisest course of action? The Bible continually tells us in the book of Proverbs to make wise decisions. This is what the wise man will do. The wise man looks ahead and avoids the situation. The foolish man does this, constantly contrasting the two. We looked at that when we went through the principle of the path last year, right? You look ahead and avoid the problem rather than go through it. This is what a wise man does. Okay? So we are to make wise decisions, and I say biblical wisdom because it's not the wisdom of this world. Because oftentimes, biblical wisdom is opposite of what the world's wisdom says. Okay? So it's not saying, use your wisdom now. Now that I've got past God's stuff, let me do my own thing. No, it's still using the Bible as your basis so that it has to be within the parameters of God's commands, the parameters of God's principles, and now then, inside of those, then I have to apply wisdom. What would be the best, the wisest course of action here? Because there are multiple choices at that point, even after you already are in the circle, you know God hasn't commanded for or against it, you know that God hasn't spoken in a principle that affects it, then okay, what will I do? And what's the wisest choice? Now we'll talk about, as a little bit farther down the road, how do we determine what's wise? But you can think about what we'll have, as we go through the principles, it'll even make more sense. But what has the most eternal impact? Is this the best use of my time? How will it impact other people, eternally and otherwise? Will it drag people down? Will it build them up? Is this true or false? All of those things. Does it help me to be a spiritual person or does it tear me down? Is it a good use of my time? Right? All of that. Okay, so that's wisdom applied and that's taking the principles that we're going to talk about. Now, I'm not going out. I'm done. But this is where we're going. We're going to discuss at least 10 principles going forward. Okay, so the next probably 10 weeks, I don't want to overwhelm you. And by the way, I've taught this whole series before in a college class in one sitting. Okay, so it's very overwhelming. I want it to stick. Okay, but 10 principles with regard to knowing how, what God's will is. And we'll see where we go from there, because there's all kinds of things. But I remember as a teenager wondering what God's will was, because it seemed like it kept coming up at camp and maybe a little bit in church, but mostly at camp and stuff. You know, what's God's will for your life? You want to surrender to God's will and stuff. And it's like, I think that's too mystical. I think there's way too much clearly stated in Scripture that you don't have to wonder what God's will is. Okay, it's the few things, not the many things. And then I think even then, if you follow these things, the rest of it will pretty much take care of itself. There might be choices you have to make, but you're making choices within a very narrow thing, and they're easy to do. Okay? Questions or comments? Think this will be good? This is always good stuff to talk about. And it doesn't matter if you're really young or really old, like me. Okay? Because you need to keep pulling back to these principles. Because they guide your way all the way through life. And I'm telling you, too often we start with just a decision rather than looking at what God has said. And the decision often is made for us. Thankfully, right? God is directing us and telling us what to do and what not to do and giving us principles to live by. So anyway, if you have questions about particular things regarding God's will or whatever, let me know and we'll work them into our studies, okay? All right, let's go play bumper cars. Let's pray. And those of us that drove, we can be safe going home. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be people of your word. We forget so quickly, and it is so easy to know things without putting them to practice. May we be people that see life through your word rather than just sprinkle some Bible on us every now and then. Lord, help us to think biblically and make decisions biblically, because you most certainly have revealed your will in a very thorough way. And we thank you for doing that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.